Welcome back to Beat Seeker. I'm your host, Matt McButter. In each episode, we explore the shifting world of music with world-renowned experts and artists to take you deep, deep inside the fascinating and changing world of music technology and music discovery.
And I'm your host, Mike Weider, reminding you to subscribe in Apple Podcasts and give us a five-star rating if you like the episode. You can visit our website at beatseeker.fm, where you'll find plenty of rabbit holes with extra content to dive into, guest backgrounds, and even a playlist with music recommendations from each of our guest episodes. Also, Beatseeker swag. You can stay current and talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BeatseekerPod. Stadiums, amphitheaters, band shells, nightclubs, every music venue offers a different type of experience. But how about attending a performance in someone's home? Musicasa is a startup that's facilitating such performances. Intimate home concerts hosted by music lovers supporting independent and emerging musicians from the comfort of their own home.
Here to walk us through the story is Beatriz Ayala, the founder and CEO of Musicasa. Bea comes from the advertising and communications world, having spent over a decade working for agencies and co-leading strategy, comms, planning, media, and creative initiatives for brands including CoverGirl, Bacardi, Snickers, and Hyundai. She joins us today from Miami. Bea, thanks for joining us on BeatSeeker.
Thank you for having me. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah. When Airbnb was just getting started, they got turned down by dozens of investors who said, this will never work. This will never work. Who wants strangers staying in their house? Obviously, they all turned out to be wrong. The company is a multi-billion dollar success. It's revolutionized the travel business. Your startup, to be honest, sounds equally crazy, right? Instead of turning your home into a hotel, you're enabling people to turn your home into a concert venue. So tell us what Musicasa is and what inspired you to start it?
Well, I gotta say, I get no's almost every day. So, and I get people telling me this will never happen. So it goes to say that just because one company did it, that there are many believers out there for different industries. So I'm excited to prove everyone wrong. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. Musicasa, what is it and how did I come up with the idea? Musicasa, the way that I describe it is a peer-to-peer platform where we're connecting music lovers and music enthusiasts with untapped emerging musicians. And we do this by connecting them through home concerts. Now, what that means is that we pay people to entertain from their homes, and we compensate you for hosting concerts at your space. Now, you as a host get to decide what are the rules of the game. If it's private, if it's public, if it's semi-private and semi-public, like, it's really up to you. But the idea here is to build the largest venue network in the world by transforming homes into entertainment spaces and getting these people compensated for doing something that they already love to do, which is hosting from their homes. We're just bringing a little bit of je ne sais quoi and culture and music to spice things up in a way that's more accessible. Because as you can imagine, having a band in your home gets to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So what cities are you in right now? What cities have you hosted
performances in? We are in Miami-Dade, Broward County, so both of those counties here in South Florida, and we're in Puerto Rico, island-wide, mainly in the metropolitan area. And you'll be surprised to know that in some towns within the Cordillera Central, which is like the most mountainous areas of Puerto Rico, where people tend to go for a day out, if you will.
I can see. I could see this also. You know, it's definitely gonna work in some jurisdictions better than others, right? And some cities and some places better than others. And so about how many concerts have you hosted so far, have been hosted?
Yeah. We've done 245 Musicasas in these two markets, if you will, with more than 8,000 fans in attendance. And we have a pretty amazing group of hosts that keep coming back. So right now we have active more than 75 hosts, out of which more than 40% of them are repeat hosts. So what that means is that on a monthly basis, the concerts that are happening, 40% of them are from hosts that are coming back to the platform. Which was one of the things that was most surprising to us, because we're calculating that mostly people would maybe host twice a year. But what we're seeing is that people are hosting more than two a year, and some of them more than two in the first 6 months of the year. So that's what we're betting on in terms of like how scalable and
potentially
big this business could be.
So if you, I have so many questions about how this works, but maybe we could just walk through an example. Okay, let's say that I want to host a concert in my house. What do I need to do? Like, walk me through
it. Yeah. So right now you go to musicasa.com and you click on a button that says become a host and you fill the lead form, right? And let's assume for this sample sake that you live in the South Florida area. So we're already operating in the area that you live in. We review your information and you set up an onboarding call with one of us. Right now it's a team of eight people at Musicasa. But you will talk to me or Carolina or Gabe, which we're the ones in charge of onboarding, and we'll onboard you and explain to you how it works. And we'll tell you, hey, the way that this works is that you get to decide your date, you get to decide the time, you get to decide the genre that you prefer, you get to decide if this is private or public. What that means is that if you want to invite your guests, family and friends, and you pay for the experience, or if you want to invite your friends and family, but they pay for the experience, or if this is open to the public and they pay for the experience. Very similar to when you pay for a ticket to go to an auditorium or
Got you. I was going to ask you about that, like whether this was predominantly people say, I'm already having a party and I just want a band, versus I'm truly opening my home to any and all takers. Like, what's the splits on that?
So right now, 73% of our hosts are gig hosts, what we call gig hosts. And what that means is these are people that are hosting because they want to diversify their income stream, because they want to entertain from home and build community where they're entertaining from home. And they want to do it for the open public.
Okay. Really? So okay. That is very surprising. I would have guessed the opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that one of the reasons why it works this way, it's because we're starting with the U.S. Hispanic market. And the cool thing about the U.S. Hispanic market, amongst the many things that are cool about them, is that one, they're the largest live music consumer group in the country. And two, they've been hosting for generations. Like, having people in our homes, whether you have a music band or not, it's something that's very natural to our culture, regardless of which country you come from. So having a friends of friends or friends of friends of friends or potential strangers come to our home, it's something that's pretty normal.
Got it. It's not foreign to them, is what you're saying. You're already kind of doing this.
It's not foreign to them, especially the ones that live in the U.S. already, which are more accustomed to the way that people tend to connect with each other amongst communities, where you're more open to have your neighbors that you don't know come to your home and share a meal.
Sure.
Or, you know, share stories while you're listening to Bob Dylan or Cat Stevens or Gloria Estefan in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, those are things that bring people together. And we just want to make it in a way that's live so that you can give more exposure to 91% of the artists that will never be discovered because they don't have where to perform, or they're not really known for them to be able to make money from streaming the way that they would need to in order to live from this.
Well, we'll ask you about the artists in a second, but just maybe a little bit more on the host side of things. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the motivation. So what you're saying is that it's partly about economics, which is that I'm going to make some money out of this, but it's also just about trying to engage my community. And, you know, I'm doing this because I like doing it for fun versus I'm just trying to make a buck.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also a very smart way to bring some culture and arts to your space in a cost efficient way. You're sharing costs with your guests versus you having to go out of pocket, which is usually how it goes when you're hosting from home. So having a band in your home usually tends to be a once every 2 years or once a year type of thing. And it's usually tied to a special occasion, anniversary, birthday, work celebration, etc. What we're trying is to normalize having bands,
not just special occasions, but do this.
This is something you can do every week if you want.
Yeah.
And not only hosting, but also attending.
Now, I've got to think though, like, if my neighbor turned his house into a concert venue, I might have some issues with that. you know, bylaw might come by and give me tickets. And how big a deal is that in, you know, standing in the way of your business, like all the rules and all that stuff?
So the cool thing is that we follow rules, and the cool thing is that we don't follow rules either. So the way that we follow rules is that all the concerts for Musicasa need to happen before 10 p.m. So what that means is that we follow all county regulations when it comes to loud noises from the home, having loud music or having someone performing your home, right? So there's no music after 10 p.m. anywhere that you live, whether it's a house, an apartment, or a loft. The second thing is that commercially, you don't need any permits to have people come into your home below 100 people. And all musicasas are between 15 to 40 people. And the reason we keep it that way, it's because at the core of what we're building is community. And you want to keep it small enough, but big enough that people are actually interacting with each other and bonding with each other and actually sharing mm-hmm. stories versus just talking to some of them and the rest. Yeah. Sort of.
Did
like
you try different sizes? Like how do you get it? Okay.
Everything below 45 people becomes music as a background. It's a party. And not everyone connects with each other. And it's not about the artists and the artistry and the performance. And that applies both to Zoom and in real life. In Zoom, more than 40 people, less participation, less people motivated to turn on their cameras. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's one. Second is that we tell hosts to invite their neighbors, potentially, because they could become hosts.
That's a smart move. Yeah. I do that for any party I'm going to host anyways.
Like,
yeah.
By the way, I'm like having people over, you're totally invited. And which is the most normal way this whole has been done. Like, these parties are already happening at people's homes. No one's monetizing them. No one's giving them the tools to scale it. Like, it doesn't exist, right? We're tapping into a market that already exists, but there's money on the table because it's done in one-offs. It's not done in a consistent basis. And then finally, think about how small these concerts are. These are between 15 to 40 people. The level of production, it's minimal. Like, many of them are acoustic. There's not a lot that goes into the sound equipment preparation and the sound engineering.
You don't have like the giant tower of speakers.
No, because you don't need it.
Blast somebody up.
No, because you don't need it. Even when it's outdoors, you don't really need it because you're right there. Like, so, literally, you can like touch the person.
What about
that makes sense?
What about, you know, the other? Are you involved in the other stuff that makes a party? I mean, what about, you know, alcohol, obviously, and food and that kind of thing? I mean, is that kind of part of it? And that, you know, I know there's regulations. I'm here in Toronto, and I know that, you know, you need to have, if you're selling alcohol, you need to have a special occasions permit. We call it here.
Yeah. Yep. No, today, no. In the foreseeable future, no. Think of it as a bridge or a connector. We're really bringing the pieces together through data to make sure that all the connections that we're making between people are the ones that make sense for them to create value in their lives. Anything else that happens within the context of the experience, that's on you hosts and that's on you artists to decide how you want to co-create that. 99% of our concerts are BYOB, bring your own beverage. It's bring your tumbler. It's bring your picnic blanket or your beach chair, right? So it's very do-it-yourselfer. The community is co-creating this experience. And what that allows is an active participation of everyone that's attending.
Got you. Okay, let's talk about the artists for a little bit. I mean, you know, artists, particularly smaller artists, really struggle to make any revenue from their streaming, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's pennies or dollars a month for many of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, this seems like a great opportunity for them to open up another revenue stream and make a little bit of extra coin. So is that the main driver for the musicians on the platform, or is it something else?
So the main drivers for the musicians, there's a couple of them. I would say that it's varied quarter by quarter, depending on the type of artists that we're working with. But one of the main drivers is that they're getting to perform. Let's start with that simple notion. Many of these artists don't have where to perform. If they have where to perform, they have to go to restaurants, corporate events, or weddings, where it's always music as a background. They are obliged to perform cover music because that's what moves the crowd, that's mm-hmm. what moves the tables and the alcohol selling and all that stuff. And you're getting underpaid for a 2 to 3 hour gig. Like many of these musicians make $100 to $150 for a 2 hour to 3 hour gig. And no one knows who you are and what's really your story and what's the type of music that you like to perform, more so than Aretha Franklin respect, right? So we're giving them a new venue, a new avenue for them to have a venue that they didn't have before. That's one. Two, we're giving them an audience. The hardest thing for these musicians is that they don't have a community of people that they can monetize. So we're telling you, hey, we're connecting you with a venue, and we're also giving you an audience, because this audience is either going to come from the host, or it's going to come from you and the host, or it's going to come from the three parties that are involved in getting this concert sold. So three parties are better than one party in terms of like promoting a concert and getting it filled out, right? We also need to remember that these are musicians that potentially don't have an hour worth concert. Mm-hmm. They probably have like 40, 45 minutes, and then the rest they're filling in with stories and the inspirations that are behind their music and the type of genres that they're performing. So we're also giving them a space where they can feel safe to practice the material that they're working on, but also safe in that they can tell stories and have creative freedom to engage an audience that potentially they can monetize long term. And then finally is the fact that, yes, we're paying them above market rate.
Yeah. It would be a much more intimate experience as an artist too with my audience, right? Where, you know, at a big concert, I'm up on the stage, you know, even in a small venue, there's that separation. Whereas I imagine if I'm in someone's living room, I'm kind of connecting with my audience in a different way.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we're not there yet, but that's what we're aiming and building towards, is the fact that many of these musicians don't have an email list. If they sell through a ticketing platform, they potentially don't get that data that they need in order to start building their community and their fan base. And what we're telling them is like, here, you're going to have a dashboard with all the data, with access to all the emails and all the people that have attended to watch your concert, so that you can understand who they are, where they are, how much they're paying, how much they're tipping you. So all of a sudden, we become a tool of business for you to be able to capitalize on the relationships that you've started building.
Makes sense. So if I am an artist on your platform, what's a kind of range for how much I could make in a gig?
You can make up to $150 per artist. So that's $120 and $150 per artist per the hour. And all concerts are 1 hour, right? So usually what happens is that these musicians get $150 for the band. If it's a quartet, a quintet, a trio, like you're getting $150. Here we're telling you you're getting $150 per member. So that's automatically a pay raise, because none of them are seeing that amount on a per person basis.
That's decent. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking too, like, I guess, so I've never heard of such a site that exists. But I imagine for the gig economy, like if I'm a restaurant or if I'm a concert venue, is there other sites that would sort of matchmake with artists to put them into, in quotes, professional venues that exists for them?
Out of the top of my head, restaurants, the types of corporate events. Well, you could say marketplaces for private parties where people are just looking to book a band.
Yeah.
For their private
like
party.
A band, if I want to book a band, like how do I normally find a
There's
band?
Marketplaces in different cities.
And
you would go and like find the band that you like here in Miami.
So have you thought about that in terms of you want to stay focused on the home as
for
a
us,
venue?
For us, it's community based. Like for me, you booking a band for your party and they still continue to not be discovered and not be exposed the way that we need them to, for people to get to discover them, that's not the problem that we're solving.
Gotcha.
The problem that we're solving is human connection. It's not discoverability for getting more gigs that are not important to you.
So I guess, you know, on that point, you know, maybe the last party in this group, you got the host, you got the artist, you got the patrons, the attendees, you know, are... You know, I thought initially that you were going to, that these were going to be friends of the host, but what you're saying is that's the minority, not the majority. So most of these people are attending, what do you attending a house that they don't know the host? What do you think they're seeking out of this? Like what are the drivers for people? Is it music discovery? Is it just to try something new?
No, it's actually not music discovery. That comes after. It's the human connection component. It's, and this is what I love, because I feel like this is a problem that we're solving for all of them in different realms, which is the reality that we live in today, where we're living in a pandemic, if you want to call it, of loneliness and isolation and disconnection, right? 3 out of 5 Americans feel completely isolated and disconnected. 3 out of 5 Americans. That's huge. This is something social media is not solving for them. This is something that the workplace, hybrid working from home, is not solving for them. These are people that are genuinely looking to connect in a different way, to feel that they belong in a different way. And that's at the core of who we are as social beings. And that's not being offered by many platforms out there.
Right.
So
I just heard in the news today that, I guess, the percentage of people living by themselves is at an all-time high, which was a surprising thing. Well, I never knew that. But apparently it's been a trend that's been going on for a while. So kind of to your point, they're looking for a way to connect with other real people in real life way.
Yeah, and with sharing similarities, like I feel like music is such a special medium, because it's one of those things that everyone gets, everyone feels something, and it's an automatic barrier. Like it removes barriers of connection, right? Like you can have a complete different way of thinking about certain topics that you and I will never agree. But if music brings us together in a moment in time and makes us feel something, and you and I have that shared experience, that's something that will connect us forever, regardless if I talk to you again in a month, in a year, or I never talk to you again. And it doesn't matter your political, your religious, your racial views on anything. Like, it's a language that everyone gets, and everyone can be at the same level of conversation and of feeling in order to be able to respect each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So there's 4 million hosts on Airbnb today. Oh, yeah. You're at 245.
I'm even less. We're at 80.
So, you know, what's your vision for the business? Like, how big can this get? And sort of what do you think is kind of standing in the way of growth and adoption? Like, at some point, Airbnb went from this weird thing to something that was normalized, right? In that everybody did this and felt comfortable with it. But what are your thoughts?
It took them like 8 years. It wasn't until 2011 that they went into Europe, because they had to buy the company in Germany that was copying their business. But then I think like by 2015, it was already something that people were like more comfortable doing. What's our vision? Listen, this is a global thing, right? Like, this is a question that I get often. Is this a lifestyle business, or is this something that you want to build globally? And for me, it's like, this is a global thing. Like, there are 2.3 billion homes around the world. Now, I'm not naive to think that we're going to be in every single home, nor that we want to be in every single home, nor that we want to be in every single country. But I do want to believe that there's more than 4 million people out there that are willing to open their homes to create community, culture, and celebration. And that they want to do it not only through music, but that they want to do it through stand-up comedy and magic and, you know, launching of books so that you can do book readings and other sorts of
activities. The model could be applied beyond music. That
absolutely
makes some sense. Yeah.
And
yeah,
we're not going to say music. We're saying music because it's the most beautiful language and because I have a bias for music since I was 7.
Yeah.
But this is something that it's really going to allow for the performing arts to have a new venue and a new set of rules in terms of monetization that hasn't existed before. For types of amateur and non-amateur artists that want to be closer to their audiences and their community. So yes, this is global. Yes, we want to be doing more than 65,000 musicazas a year by year 5. And for that, we need to grow really fast and really aggressively and remove the barriers of entry for these people to open their homes. And these barriers can be anything from liability and who covers it and how we're going to go about it, to trust issues and who's coming to my home, and am I able to customize this every month, where sometimes I want to do it private and sometimes I want to do it public, and to other sources of challenges that we'll have that I don't even know what they are, because we haven't gotten to that scalability, right? What we're committed to is building a company and building a movement that is centered around community and that is centered around the capacity for people to monetize things in a fair and just way that hasn't been done before. And that we're going to build the tools and the platform and the technology needed for us to be able to support them in that journey. That we're going to make mistakes along the way, absolutely. That we've made them, absolutely. That there's many things that we have no idea how we're going to solve, absolutely. That we're getting the right people in the team to solve for those and have the empathy enough to ask the hard questions to the users so that we can build the right product, yes. We are that sort of naive, if you will, but also that humble, that understanding that what we're building has a direct implication on the lives of people and the type of creativity that they're bringing forward.
Well, that's a great vision. And we're really excited to, follow Musicasa and see where it goes,
Bea.
So now's that time in the podcast when we're going to ask you for a music recommendation. So something that you're into lately.
Okay, I have a couple of things. There's this duo of brothers called Los Hermanos Gutierrez. Los Hermanos Gutierrez. Ecuadorian mom, Swiss dad, raised between Mexico, Switzerland, and I can imagine other places. Instrumental music, they're both guitar players, and their music is out of this world. Super talented. They performed their first time in the US in May 25th in LA, and they're now doing a Europe tour. This upcoming quarter. Another artist that I'm really into right now is Carla Morrison, a Mexican singer-songwriter into the indie alternative folk type of music.
Great.
And then finally, I have to say someone from Puerto Rico. There's this musician called Andrea Cruz. And Andrea Cruz is this type of artist that she's world-class. And I think she doesn't know it yet. But if she wants to, she can be huge. So that's my shout out. If you can find her and listen to her music, she just announced that she's becoming deaf from her left ear and she's going to have to stop singing and performing for the next year until she gets surgery. But I'm hoping that it all goes well and that she can get back on track.
All right. Well, thank you for those picks. We'll comb through those and we'll put one of those on our guest picks playlist on our Spotify
awesome.
Playlist. And finally, if our listeners want to follow you or your work, we'll obviously put a link to Musicasa. But if they want to connect with you, where should they go?
They should go to our Instagram page, which is Musicasa, with an extra A at the end. They can go to our website, Musicasa, the same extra A for the website.com. They can go to our Twitter, which is Musicasa Live, just one A at the end of Musicasa. And then I would love to announce that in the next 4 weeks, we are actually releasing our MVP, our new platform that's actually going to look like a marketplace where we're going to be making some of those matches in a more automated way. And people are going to be able to find these concerts by genre and by location. So really excited for what's coming.
Sounds great. Yeah. Well, we look forward to checking it out. And Bea, thanks so much for being with us today. It was really great to learn about Musicasa.
Thank you for having me or your questions. I'll talk to you later. Adios.
You've been listening to Beat Seeker with your hosts, Matt McButter and Mike Wider. If you like the show, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit the subscribe button. While you're there, leave us a rating and a comment and share it with your friends and colleagues. If you want to dig deeper into this content, visit beatseeker.fm. That's beatseeker.fm. And if you want to be part of the show, check out our Patreon link. Interact with us on social media at BeatSeekerPod. BeatSeeker is recorded in the Devil Lake Studios and the Tunnel Under Arundel. The show is produced by Matt McButter, Mike Wider, and Kate McCartney. Tim Ratledge is our editor. Thanks for tuning in and keep seeking.